Well, say good morning, everybody. I thought this morning, since we're going to learn Parshas Bahalotcha this coming Shabbos, at least in Chutz Laaretz, in Eretz Yisrael, you know, they're a week ahead of us. In Eretz Yisrael, they're already up to Parshas Shlach, because we had the second day of Shavuos was on Shabbos, so we didn't learn the upcoming Sedra, the next Sedra on that Shabbos, because it was Shavuos, so we learned the Shavuos learning. And in Eretz Yisrael, Shavuos was only one day, Friday. So Shabbos, they laid the next Seder, which was Naso. So they're a week ahead of us. Till a number of weeks from now, we catch up. We double up a Seder, they don't. So we're a week behind Eretz Yisrael. I always like to tell over one of my children, my oldest daughter, when she went to Eretz Yisrael for the year, it was a year like this. And so she came back sometime in June. And so she'd already heard it was Dafke Pashas Balosa. So she came home, this week. And so Friday night, we're sitting around the table, Parshas Bahalotcha, talking about Bahalotcha, and she said, well, I heard Bahalotcha already last Shabbos. I heard this Sedra last Shabbos. So another one of my sons, I think maybe he was 8 or 9, however old he was, he said, how could you hear the Parsha last week? How's that possible? You heard it last week. So I explained. I said, Eretz Yisrael, they're a week ahead of us. So he said, a week ahead of us? I thought it was 7 hours. So now go try and figure out, to explain to an 8-year-old, well, you know, the Parsha, well, it wasn't going to work, so... Now we understand it. He is many years later. Anyway, when we read Parshas Bahalotcha, so we find a very fascinating phenomenon in Parshas Bahalotcha in the written Torah and the many, many Chumashim printed as well. We have two unusual markings, two inverted nuns that bracket two psukim in Perek Yud, kind of in the middle or towards the second half of the Sedra. The two psukim themselves are famous psukim, Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed, Hei, and Lamed Vav. They're famous because we say them in conjunction, as you know, with Hotzah and Achnosas of Sefer Torah. So Pasuk Lamed is Hei, Lamed Hei is Vahi Ben Tzahor, and Rama Asher Kumo Hashem V'yafutzu Avecha V'nusam V'sanecha Mipanecha. And the other Pasuk we say we put back the Sefer Torah, V'nucha Omer Shuva Hashem Rivos Alfa Yisrael. These are two psukim that are in the Torah. And they are set off, they are marked in the written Torah, very unusual phenomenon. As you know, anyone who's a Baal Kari knows, you've known this in the past. You can look, most Chumashim, I think, even printed just symbolically. They print, you know, the nuns by the backwards nuns, the inverted nuns, really, by these psukim. What is that all about exactly? What's going on here? Why suddenly by these two psukim you have these inverted nuns? It's a rare phenomenon. I don't have anything like that anywhere else in the entire Torah. I remember when I was a kid, you know, let's say, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years old. So on Shabbos afternoon, you know, between Minchah and Maariv, the rabbi used to give a shiur. So the children, the little kids would run out. So when it was good weather, we ran around outside. When it was lousy weather, we had to be inside. We played a game called Chumash Baseball. I don't know, nothing to do with baseball, but basically, I mean, you ever play that game? Basically, what happens, you take a Chumash and you open it up, and you can pick any number from 1 to 10, either forwards or backwards. And let's say you pick the number 6, whatever page you opened up to, you count 6 pages, it'll say forward. And depending what's on the page in the Chumash, that's how many runs you get. So you have, at the end of the set, you had the 3 Samachs was worth this and this number of runs. And the Pei is worth that number of the Chazak. At the end of a Chumash was worth, now this time, the biggest thing, a grand slam, that was the nuns. I landed up on your page with the nuns. All right, when we got older, we figured out how many, you know, we did the math, so we figured out what page it was on, and it could count. But anyway, that's the inverted nun. It's a very rare phenomenon. I don't have like that anything else in the Chumash. So what exactly is going on here? So Rashi, in Chumash, on that Pasuk, Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Hey, he says, Osalo Simonios Melefano Melachor. That's what Rashi says. These two psukim have simonios, symbols, markings, both before and after. Why? Rashi says, Lomar She'ein Zemekomo. As if to say, these two psukim don't really belong here. Whatever that means. It says, these two psukim don't belong here. That's why they're kind of marked off. They are where they are, here in Perek Yud of Parshas Bahalotcha. But these two psukim, Rashi says, don't belong here. Okay? So why are they written here if they don't belong? First of all, what does it mean they don't belong here? I don't know. Where do they belong? Rashi doesn't tell us all this. And second of all, if they don't belong here, what are they doing here? So Rashi says, Kedei lahafsik bein puranos lepuranos. It separates between two tragic events. Parshas Bahalotcha, a very fascinating sedra. Okay, Parshas Bahalotcha, the beginning of the Sedra, Rav Soloveitchik once had a beautiful drush on this, the beginning of the Sedra is very dramatic. They're about to enter Eretz Yisrael, right? They set up the camp, and they have the golem, and they have the chatzotzos, and what do you call it? Moshe Rabbeinu invites Yisrael to come along, right? They're about to go into Eretz Yisrael. And all of a sudden, the second half of the Sedra, the second, last third of the Sedra, disaster. Right, Vayisu Mahar Hashem, it says they traveled, they ran away from Har Sinai, they were very eager to get out of doing more mitzvahs, Rashi said. okay? And the name of the Gemara. And then you had the Misonanim, the grumblers, and then the fire burnt Taver, then Kibras Atava, and then the story with Miriam with the Lashon Hara, and then next week with the Meraglim. You know, it's a dramatic turn of events. We'll come back to that. But in any event, so Rashi says these two psukim here are set off by these markings because they don't really belong here. They're designed to be mafsik, to separate between two puranas, two bad things, not to have two bad things about Bnei Yisrael written in a row. That's all Rashi says, but he tells us that he's not making this up. He says, "Could the Isa b'kol kisra kodesh?" He refers to Gemara and Shabbos, Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis, going over to Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, most of it on Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara there says, okay, the Gemara there says, again, the very bottom of Kuf Tes Vav Amud Beis and Shabbos, going over to Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. I have it printed out, the source. If you're interested in the source, I can email them to you. But anyway, I'll read it now. Just let me know, and I'll email you the source if you want to have them for posterity. Tanar Abanar Vahid Mitzvahar Vahim Hashem Parashuzu Oso HaKadosh Baruch Hu Simonios Milmal Olamata. Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in writing the written Torah, made markings by these psukim to teach us that they aren't, doesn't belong here. They don't belong over here. Again, what is, where does it belong? Okay, it doesn't exactly say where it does belong. So Rashi in the Gemara tells us where it does belong. Because what do those psukim mean? Let's think for a moment. By he bin soa ha'aron. When it was time to move the aron, then Moshe said, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu evech, etc. Uvenucho, when they came back and they set it back down in its place, you know, because the Bnei Yisrael had to travel in the desert. So every time they had to travel, they had to dismantle the Mishkan, travel. And then when they got to the new place, they put the Mishkan back up. So Uvenucho yomad, they say, Shuvah Hashem reveals alfa Yisrael. So these psukim appear over here. It has nothing to do we weren't talking about traveling anywhere, right? So Rashi in the Gemara in Shabbos Kuftez Zanam Aleph says that really these psukim belong. And 2 weeks ago said in Bamidbar, remember at the end of Bamidbar, there's a whole discussion. The whole parts of Bamidbar tells how the Bnei Yisrael were camped around the Mishkan, and there it describes how they had to move. Okay, if you remember, there are four groups of three shvatim positioned all around the Mishkan in the middle. Let's say in the in the front was Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun, and then so they moved first. It's all described in Parshas Bamidbar. They traveled first when it was time to go. Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. Then it was after that, the next group was Reuven, Shimon, and Gad, right? And then in Perek Beis of Bamidbar, Parshas Bamidbar, Pasuk Yud Zayin, it says after those two sets of three tribes moved. Then Perek Beis Pasuk Yitzayim Benosa Ol Moed Machna Levim B'socha Machanos. Then the Machna Levim, which in the middle included the Mishkan, then that moved. So Rashi said that's where this pasuk belongs. Back in Parshas Bamidbar, when it's talking about how everybody moved, so they're talking about how it was time for the Ol Moed to move. So that would make sense to write over there by Heb and so on. When the Aaron moved, here's what they said. So Rashi, in explaining the Gemara there in Shabbos, Kuf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, says that's what it means. It doesn't belong over here in Parshas Bamidbar. So really, these two psukim should have appeared back in Parshas Bamidbar when it was talking about the camps moving and so on. At the first two groups, Yehuda's group and Reuben's group moved, then the middle, then the last two sets of three moved. That's all described back in Perek Beis of Parshas Bamidbar. So Rashi says that's what the Gemara means, that these sources, these two psukim don't belong here in Parshas Bamidbar. So they belong over there. Okay. Then another Gemara says, the Gemara goes on, you know, to say that's one opinion, but Rebbe said it's not true. Okay, it means something else. Also, a very strange idea, and that is, you know, why? No, they belong here. It's fine. They're not out of place over here. But he says, you know what? We always thought that there were five books in the Chumash. Guess what? There's seven. Okay, and these two psukim, in a certain sense, are considered a sefer choshuv bifnei atzmo. These two psukim, okay, are like a sefer Torah by themselves. So actually, there are seven books of the Torah: Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, the first part up until these two psukim. That's book number four. Then these two psukim is book number five. Then the rest of Bamidbar is number six, and Devarim is number seven. So surprise, we always thought there were five books. There are actually seven, at least from one perspective. I mean, we call it, you know, elsewhere we have 24 books of Tanakh. We don't count the Torah as seven. But anyway, from some perspective or another, it's considered that there are seven books of the Torah, and the Gemara quotes psukim and so on and so forth. Okay? And there the Gemara says, but according to the ones who said that it doesn't belong here, so why was it put here? Because after all, the truth of the matter is, Rebbe, who argues, said that it's true, you could have put it back in Bamidbar, but here in Baaloska, we were also talking about moving. Remember, it talks about the Chatzotzros, right? When the trumpets sound, we're going to start moving, and the Degolem and so on. So it's not that it's so out of place here. So that's why Rebbe doesn't like that. He has a different reason. It's these two psukim somehow are considered like a sefer, but Bifnei Atzma, a separate sefer, the Chumash, bringing the total from 5 to 7. But the other opinion is that it really belongs elsewhere. And the reason why is it here? Because the pasuk right before Vayibin Saron says Vayisu Mehar Hashem, Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Okay, they traveled from the Har Hashem. The people traveled from the mountain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Pasuk Lamed. It wasn't right before, but it's a few Pesukim before. Okay, Perek Yud, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, it was Vayisu Mehar Hashem. And right after these two Pesukim comes the story of the Misonanim, right, the people who grumbled and complained. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished them, so they were Rishoyim, Rashi says, right? And Vayisu, what is Vayisu Mehar Hashem? What's so bad about that? So many of you know, the Mefarshim explained, Vayisu Mehar Hashem, okay, it wasn't the word Mehar from the mountain. We're in Mehar. They wanted out of there. Okay, that's how that's how Tosus there in Shabbos Kuf Tezan and Aleph has the famous phrase that they ran away from Har Sinai, Ketino Hayotzim Beis HaSefer, like a kid getting out of school. You can relate to that. It's the end of the year. Okay, right, and it's always this is always a parsha they read around graduation time. Right, people are very excited to leave. The kids are very excited to leave school. Right, you want to get out of here. So that's unfortunately the attitude that the Bnei Yisrael had. That's what Amar Shah explains and so on. That they're hanging around Har Sinai every day. Another mitzvah. Enough already. We want out of here. So they ran out. That's a Vayisu Mehar Hashem. Kitino Kayotzim Beis HaSefer. Shabareachlo. The kids, Mami Shul, remember the last day of school? And was excited. Right, today's the last day of school. And when that last bell rings, we're out of here, right? I mean, maybe you feel the same way now, but certainly felt that way in elementary school, right? Oh, we're out of here. Okay, at the end. So that's how they felt about leaving Har Sinai. Of course, it wasn't appropriate for leaving Har Sinai. Some people make a joke. Why does it say they left like a child running out of school? Guess what? The teachers are also very happy. Teachers also run out. How come it says like a child running out of school? What about the teachers? So some people went and said, they didn't move that fast. Teachers go even faster. That fast they didn't leave. But be that as it may, the idea is that they ran away from Har Sinai. I said, that's a negative comment about them, right? Reisim HaHashem, they didn't want to be by the Har Hashem anymore. So they were disappointed. That was a disappointing thing. And right after that comes the Misonim. So therefore, we kind of sneak in 2 extra psukim so as not to make the Bnei Yisrael look so bad. You know, we don't make them look that bad. So we stick these other psukim in. And again, the Rishonim there in the Gemara and Shabbos, I'm not going to read it now, and some of the Diran and the Ritva and the Miri, all the regular Rishonim there point out these different tragedies. But the truth of the matter is, there was another tragedy even afterwards, okay? Because after the Misonim came right away, the people who complained about the Mon and so on. So it's interesting because is that part of the same Puranos? So the truth of the matter is, the Miri writes, it's really, they didn't want 3 things in a row. You don't want 3 bad things in a row. Because 3 things in a row, we talk 3 is usually a chazaka. Right? 2 in a row, okay, we can live with it. But 3 bad episodes, 3 bad behaviors on the part of Klal Yisrael, you print 3 things in a row, it looks very nasty, and 3 is already a chazaka. Some sofer in the Gemara and Gittin has an interesting heimfall. He says, you know, that's actually a machlokas. This is a side point, but it's interesting to know. He said, that's a question. How many times is a chazaka? 3 times or 2 times? You know what? It's actually machlokas. It's actually machlokas. The Gemara Yevam is actually with a 3-time machlokas. Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel, where the chazaka is 3 times or 2 times. The Gemara there is talking. Let's say, God forbid, today it's not such a problem because we have better medicine. But you know, you have a boy and they give him the bris. 8 days, God forbid, the child dies because of the bris. And then his brother, a few years later, they have another baby. Brother, he also dies because of the bris. So then Gemara says you don't do a 3rd bris because the chazaka. Then in this family, there's some kind of a blood disorder, maybe hemophilia, whatever else. Today we know how to control it, but in the days of the Gemara, you can't take a chance. 2 times already chazaka. And one other opinion says no, 2 times not okay. Wait for 3 times. So the whole Gemara has different examples. Sometimes it seems to be 2 times, sometimes 3 times. So at the end of the sugya there, if you want to look it up, I think it's Samach Dalma Beis Nivamas, maybe Samach Hay. So take a look, the Gemara there talks about. In the end, somebody asks, so who's the halacha? Is halacha like Rebbe? Is halacha that it's only 2 times? So the teacher answered, yes. Then he asked, is halacha 3 times? He answered, yes. So how can it be? Is it 2 times or 3 times? The answer depends what the situation is. Sometimes we say a chazaka is 2 times, sometimes a chazaka is 3 times. Anyway, the Chazam Sofer says that, 1 second, putting these two psukim don't help. If you hold that a chazaka is 2 times, so there were 3 peronos in a row, 3 bad things in a row, the Ayisu Mehar Hashem, the Misononim, and the Kibas Atava, right? They're complaining about the Mon. So even if you put these 2 psukim in, but you still have 2 in a row. So if 2 times are a chazaka, that doesn't help. On the other hand, if it's 3 times a chazaka, then it does help. So the Chassam Sofer says, that's the machlokas. Okay, he ties up this machlokas, 3 and 2, with the opinions back in the Gemara, in Shabbos, whether this has something to do with breaking up Puranas or no. Who was it? Rebbe says it's got nothing to do with that. Okay, it's got nothing to do with anything like that. It's got to do with these 2 psukim are a separate sefer. Okay, we don't have to go into great detail. There is a lot of things that I want to focus on. Actually, if you look in the Sifrei, here in Parshas Baalotzko, let's go back again to the language of Rashi here in our Sedra. Osulo simonio, some kind of marking. It doesn't say anything about a nun. It doesn't say what it looks like. It doesn't say where it is exactly, right? And that's the Gemara's language also. The Gemara says, Osulo, very bottom of Kuftas Vavim Beis and Shabbos, the Gemara says, Osulo Kodesh Baruch Hu simonios. What are these simonios exactly? It doesn't say anything about nuns. So actually, the Sifrei, which is the Medrash Halacha in Sefer Bamidbar, here on this Pasuk in Baal Oscha, in Piska Pei Dalet, it says, Nokud Olo. There are dots on it. That you know, right? There are certain words, certain psukim, have dots over some of the letters, right? You know, like, remember by, I guess, as I mentioned, the famous one, by Esav, when Esav meets up with Yaakov, right? It says, by Yishakehu, he kissed him, but there are dots on it. And the Chazal said, teacher didn't really want to kiss him, he wanted to bite him, right? Whenever there are dots, it indicates an unusual, okay? Or actually, in this week's Sedra in Baal Oscha, when it talks about Pesach Sheni, it says anybody who was far away, but Derech Rechoka was far away from Eretz from Yerushalayim, couldn't bring Pesach on Pesach Rishon. He can bring it to the second, month, a month later on Pesach Sheni. And it says the word Derech Rechoka is a dot on the hay, written in the Torah, a dot on the hay. Why did Chazal learn a lesson that that doesn't really have to be far away? It could be physically very close, but he's spiritually far away. Whatever, different drushes. Or maybe somebody mentioned, and maybe remember Parshas Nitzavim, Hanistaros Hashem Elkeinu, Aniglos Lono Levaneinu, 11 letters with dots. It teaches us halachas. So that's what the Sifrei says here also, the dots. Okay. However, other collections of Midrashim already mentioned, including the Medrash Lekach Tov, which is a later Medrash, it's called the Psikta Zutris, so it's what's called Lekach Tov, here in Parshas Baal Oscha. So there it talks about Nun Hafuchim. Nun Hafuchim. Okay, that's a pretty an old source. Rashi, and certainly by the time of the Rishonim, they were aware of the nun practice. The Sifrei, notwithstanding about dots, okay. Rashi and Rosh Hashanah, those want to look it up. The Daf Yudzayin Amud Beis, okay. He's talking about something else, but he says simonim. It's os nun hafucha. Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah, and there's an interesting thing. Another Gemara in Shabbos, we know that on Shabbos you're not allowed to write. What do you have to do to violate the biblical, the Torah prohibition of writing on Shabbos? And we know how many letters? 2 letters. Okay, right? The minimum of 2 letters, huh? 2 letters, the minimum of 2 letters. Now the Gemara says it doesn't make a difference if you write it with your right hand, you write it with your left hand. We're not going to go into the details right now of that, okay? Or it doesn't matter if you write 2 different letters or the same letter twice. And it mentions there, shtei simonios. That's also, okay, same word, simonios. That's also a violation of Shabbos. And the Chiddush HaRashba says, in the name of Rabbeinu HaGaon, earlier, the Gaonim, he says, kigon nunin hafuchin in Parshas Baal Oscha. So already in the time of Rav HaGaon, the Rashba quotes it, okay, the Ritva, there in Shabbos, Kukilon Aleph, they quote from the Gaonim already, that they already talked about the nunin hafuchin. So again, I want to stress, there's no mention of this in the Mishnah. The Gemara never mentioned, just Gemara says simonios. Yes, simonios. But it doesn't say anything about nuns. But by the time of the Gaonim already, or that Medrash Lekach Tov, which is a later Medrash, maybe even from the same time, certainly maybe a little earlier, but from the Gaonim, it mentions the Nun Hafuchim. Okay, Nun Hafuchim. There's a very interesting comment, because you can now ask, and by the way, the Rambam doesn't weigh in either. The Rambam never says, in Hilchos Shabbos, he says you violate Shabbos by making Tznei Simonios, but he doesn't explain what they are. And the Rambam does not also mention this in the Hilchos Sefer Torah. That's an important point we'll come back to. But one can ask a question, okay, Nun Hafuchin, why Nun? Why don't you make a backwards, I don't know, a backwards bays, a backwards lamed? So why nun of all things? So Rabbeinu Bachya, here in Parshas Baalos, has an interesting point. He said, if you remember, one of the reasons for the nuns is we said these psukim don't really belong here. They belong earlier, back in Parshas Bamidbar, right? So says the Rabbeinu Bachya, if you count from here back to that pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, the paragraphs, the parshios, not, I don't mean parshios or shavua, but you know, the Torah would have paragraphs, the pays in the Torah, and so on. You go back, guess what? You go back 50 spaces, you come to that pasuk. So says Rabbeinu Bachya. That's why it's a nun. It's an inverted nun telling you it really belongs 50 spaces, 50 paragraphs earlier. Okay, that's why it's dafka nun. Okay? That this parsha sort of pushes these two psukim really belong, according to that view, really belong 50 sections earlier. That's Rabbeinu Bachya. Okay? Okay, then the other opinion has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, making it a safer bifnei atzmo. So maybe we'll come back to that point. But that's always an interesting thing as to why it's dafka a nun. Okay? Others have a debalaturim. Okay, the Balaturim has different things about nun. Yeah, I'm not going to go into so many things now, but many of the commentaries discuss why dafka nun. Okay, some say that the nun, you know, it's the way that that the Marsha says it's nun is always the negative letter. The Marsha says in Shabbos, why is where else do we see that nun has a negative association? I don't know.
Dreidel.
That's right. Well, according to what we have, yeah, you get nothing, right? That's true. Okay. But also, what letter is missing in Ashrei from the beginning? Well, which letter does not have a pasuk? Yeah. Nun. Remember that Gemara? Right? Ashrei is an alphabetical acrostic. Huh? Remember? There's no Gemara Brachos, right? There's no nun. Ashrei is every letter. There's no nun in Ashrei. So the Gemara wonders, why not? So nun represents Nefila. Okay, that's still a good question, because I'm sure we can find lots of nice words that starts with nun too. But it's somehow or another, the Gemara Brachos indicates that nun has some sort of a negative association with it. That's what our Shoah says over here. Okay, or alternatively, let's remember when the Jews in Mitzrayim, okay, they sunk to the 49th level of Tumah, right? There are 50 levels of Tumah. And they came out of Mitzrayim, had to come back. That's why I needed 50 days to Shavuos. Anyway, it's a lot of drushes. There are a lot of drushes about why it was a letter nun. Again, it's all drush, and you can think about it a little further. What's interesting is that the Meiri makes a fascinating comment. Okay, the Meiri has, aside from, not the Meiri, right, before I get to the Meiri, there's a sefer called Hilchos Sefer Torah, the Ri al Bartzaloni, one of the Rishonim, makes a very interesting comment. He says that why would these psukim set aside, and let's assume that they do belong here, but somehow they're safer bifnei atzma. So we also have in the section after the upside down, the backwards nuns, we have among other things the story of Eldad and Medad. Remember them? The two guys who were prophesied in the camp and so on. That's also in this week's Sedra. Eldad and Medad. So the Riyal Bacheloni quotes in his Hilchos Sefer Torah, quotes a tradition, I don't know where exactly the original source is, but that these two psukim were part of the nevuah of Eldad and Medad. They weren't part of the nevuah of Moshe, and that's why they're set aside. So that's another interpretation. Okay, so we have a number of different, again, all these different ideas of, why dafka nun. I thought that was very interesting. That wasn't part of the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, Rav Soloveitchik, just to add what he said, and this I think I heard from myself. He said, the magic word, he said, again, this Parsha Baaloscha is really a tale of two sedras. It was the uplifting. You know, the Rav said it basically follows chronological order, right? The Mishkan was completed, so the sedra begins with how to light the menorah, right? That was the beginning of Nisan, the second year. After 1 year, they came out of Eretz Mitzrayim. So now it's Nisan the following year. So that's what Torah says about Pesach. Korban Pesach is coming up. Time to read the Korban Pesach. Then it says, yeah, but there were some people who were Tameis, and you have the story of Pesach Sheni, right? Anyway, that all unfolds in order, and now they're ready to go into Eretz Yisrael. Let's remember, the original plan is they're going straight into Eretz Yisrael, right? The Meraglim story is not until next week. They were going to go straight into Eretz Yisrael. To the point that Moshe turns to Yisro, which is described in this study as well. Moshe says to Yisro, no simanachnu, we're ready to go in, join us. Remember, he invites Yisro to come along. the capital Nun, no Simanachnu. And then all of a sudden, what happens? The last part of the Sedra, what are the misonim in Kibbutz HaTava? What are they complaining about in Kibbutz HaTava? Remember what they're complaining about? The mun. Right? We're sick of this food. Right? We liked all the other delicacies that we were able to get in Mitzrayim. We're tired of this food, right? They complain, and Moshe was very disappointed. Here they're ready to go to Eretz Yisrael, and all the Bnei Yisrael can worry about is what's on the menu. Okay? They're only worried about the food. So anyway, that is a dramatic turnaround. And the Rav said, from no simanachnu, the nun gets turned around from no simanachnu. I just want to mention what's very possibly the simplest interpretation of Aram Schiff, who's printed in the back of most regular Gemaras, you know, they have all the Mefarshim in the back. The Chidushim Aram Schiff in Shabbos Kuf Tesvav Medbeis says, it's not a nun. It's not a matter of nun. It looks like, and that's not what it is. What it is like brackets. Parentheses. That's the idea. Okay. In other words, it's a nun. It wasn't because of the letter nun. We have, again, the loads of drushes. Why a nun? I mean, lots of things. Okay. And we just mentioned some of them, and there are many others. You look in the Mefarshim, many other Mefarshim, the suggestions, why nun? But the Maram Shif, I think it's probably the simplest interpretation. They're not really meant to be nuns at all. They're like brackets. You know, like sometimes they have in the Gemara, right? The Gemara, sometimes have parentheses, right? And the parentheses means doesn't belong, then the brackets mean it does belong there. So we mark it off in our writing to this day. You mark something off with brackets. That's what the Maram Shif suggested. It's just like brackets, okay? A nun is that shape. Happens to be, that's what a nun is. A nun looks like that, but it's not intended as a nun. It's just intended to be some form of a parentheses. And some have a discussion whether actually, it should be, nun should be backwards, and ours are kind of inverted, they're upside down. Okay, anyway, that's also machlokas. But it's very interesting that despite the fact that Rav Haigon talked about it and so on, and Rishonim already were well aware of this practice of the nuns. The Rav Shlomo Luria, the Maharshal, with a lamed at the end, the Maharshal, you have in the back of the Gemara sometimes on the bottom of the Maharshal, the Chochma Shlomo. I don't know if you've ever been exposed to it. Probably Zora Mendelssohn, she probably looked at some of the Chochma Shlomo, right? So in the back of the Maharshal, when you have the Maharshal on the top, you have the Chochma Shlomo in the bottom. That's Rav Shlomo Luria, the Maharshal. We also have Chuvas from the Maharshal. Shals and Chuvas. Maharshal was one of the kind of the early Achron, basically. He was a contemporary, more or less, of the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, that period of time, the Marshal, one of the great authorities. And the Marshal was very strident, a very independent thinker. And he didn't care necessarily, he was not afraid to take on others and to disagree with the conventional wisdom. Okay, that's what's known about the Marshal. You know, very often takes issue with things in the Shulchan Aruch and so on. He said, not correct. He's not afraid to start up. So in the Chochma Shlomo, he says, I don't know what this business is with these nuns over here. Okay, many people write the Sifrei Torah, but he said, in the Sifrei Torah that I saw, the Marshal, okay, in the Lublin, he lived, okay, he said, the Meduyokim, the precise Sifrei Torah, don't have it. And listen to his words. V'karov be'ena shepsula. I think to put that in, pasul the Sefer Torah. I'm sorry, those are fighting words. But that's what he says. I think it, since you can't just start adding letters to the Torah. He says, you know, the Mishnah never mentions this. The Gemara doesn't mention it. The Rambam doesn't mention it. So, well, what kind of business is this? You can't just stick in letters in the Torah. Okay? He says, maybe somebody put it in. He was studying something, writing something, put it in, and it caught on. You just marked it off. He was putting brackets in or whatever. But he said, that doesn't come to tell us that we have to put that in. You're not allowed to, Adarabba, right? He says, we know that an extra letter passes the Sefer Torah. If you have a word in the Sefer Torah, an extra letter passes it. The Shulchan Aruch says that. In Yoredeah, in Reish, Ayin, Hey, Hilchos Sefer Torah, and Siv Vav, the Yoredeah says, if a word is supposed to be male and it's chashin or male, let's say the word olam, le olam. So male is with a vav, lamed ayin vav, lamed mem, le olam, right? Olam with a vav. That's called male, a full way of spelling it. But you can also spell it without that vav, and there's just a dot, right? Le olam, lamed ayin, lamed mem. And it's just a dot, there's no dots in the Sefer Torah when we read it. So we know sometimes you can spell a word with the vav, that's the full way to spell it, Malay and Chasser. Well, we have traditions as to how every word in the Torah is written. And if you spell a word that's supposed to be Chasser, and you add the missing letter, the Vav, or the other way around, okay, that passes the Sefer Torah. So the Maharshal says, what's going on here? right? He writes this in the Chochma Shlomo. You can look it up yourself. He has in his Tshuvas, in Siman Ayin Gimel of his Tshuvas. You may not all have the Tshuvas Marshal, but you take a regular Gemara in Shabbos, look up the Sugya, and in the Chochma Shlomo, and Kuf Tazvom Medvei, he's there in Shabbos, says this. He says, I don't understand. You can't just put in new letters. Okay? So therefore, I think it was a mistake. That some Talmidim made a mistake, but he writes, the Rambam never mentions it. Nobody ever says anything about it. Okay? And therefore, in fact, some say that he mentions, some say that the backwards nun is not a separate thing, but it's the nun of Ahi bin Nesoa. Bin Nesoa. Okay? That nun should be backwards. The nun of the word bin Soa, Ahi bin Soa, Aaron. But he said, that's also a problem. You can't write that. You write it backwards. It's not a nun. It's a backwards nun. So you can't tamper with the Sefer Torah. So therefore, the Chochma Shlomo, Shlomo Luria, rejects this entire way of thinking. He said, what's going on here? Okay, you can't do it. All right? And he says, I know that many people bring it down, but he says, I don't think it's right. Okay? And therefore, he rejects it. However, many people do not reject it. The Taz, who often argues with the Marshal and Halacha, the Taz also has a commentary on Chumash called Divrei David. It's available. I have it here in the house. Okay, the Divrei David from the Taz on this pasuk. He quotes the Marshal, but he says, Rabim Cholkim Alav. Most people disagree with the Marshal, and certainly from Alpi Kabbalah, okay, and he quotes a tshuva from the Maram Lublin. Okay, Maram Lublin, his tshuva is Siman Ayin Hey. He says that we have a tradition like that, it's a good question, but he said it's an old tradition, and he says, I would not passel a Sefer Torah that doesn't have it, even though the Marshal says, that has it. I mean, now, the Maram Lublin hedges his bets, and I wouldn't go so far as to passel a Sefer Torah that doesn't have it. But if you have a Sefer Torah that doesn't have these inverted nuns, that the Maram Lublin says, I wouldn't go so far to passel the Sefer Torah because it's missing the nuns. But it is a tradition. I certainly don't agree with the Marshal who passels the Sefer Torah that does have it. The Maram Lublin kind of in the middle. He said it's a tradition. He says he saw old Chumashim and old Sefer Torah and so on, and explains that's what the Gemara means. So therefore, he says we should certainly not, and the Midrashim have it. And he said we should certainly not, like the Marshal said, disagrees with the Marshal, certainly not passel a Sefer Torah that have those nuns, which is most of our Sefer Torah today. Again, the Maram Lublin says, I don't go so far to say you have to have them. If you don't have them, it's puzzle. But he certainly justifies the practice. There's a long tshuva from the Noda B'Yehuda, Madura Kami Yoradei Siman Ayin Dalad, also talks about the backwards nuns. And the Noda B'Yehuda, someone asked him about it. He asked him about this Maharshal, what do we do? How do we paskin? So the Noda B'Yehuda says, introduces the tshuva, by saying, or this part of the tshuva, by saying, I don't usually like to comment about things that are not in the Gemara and the regular postgame and the Rambam. You know, it doesn't say, okay, so I can't know, okay? And certainly he said, who am I to argue with the great Maharshal? I can't. You know, the Maharshal is mamish, you know, one of the gedolim. I'm like a fox, he's like a lion. You know what I'm saying? That's what he says. He said, but you know, after appropriate cover, with all due respect, he says that, I disagree with him. He said he's right that we're not allowed to add letters to the Sefer Torah. But he said that's the whole point. These are not added. They're not in the middle of the pasuk. It's not the nun of Ayin bin Soa. It's before and after, right? When do we say we can't add or take away a letter in the Torah? When it tampers with a word in the Sefer Torah. So the word la'olam is spelled without a vav. You can't make it with the vav. You can't add the vav, right? Or when you tamper with the word in the Torah itself, okay, then you can't tamper with it when you're worried. But here, it's not really part of the word, okay. Here, it's separate. It's separate from the word. It's before and after. So it certainly does not passel up the Sefer Torah. That's the and in fact, it's not even a letter. You didn't add a letter. It's an inverted nun. Maybe like the Maram Shifter said, it's intended as a bracket. So it's not even a letter. You didn't add any letter. First of all, you didn't tamper with a word. And secondly, you didn't add a letter. You added a symbol, okay? And that does not, as I say, the Huda says, does not passel the Sefer Torah. So therefore, that's the sort of the answer. And certainly in later Sfarim and later works, we find indeed that the... all the Sifrei Torah, I think all the Sifrei Torah today, I'm not sure, I assume the Sfaradi Sifrei Torah as well, all have the inverted nuns. Okay, so that's just in general in terms of an interesting, I think, halacha, and that's what we have. I'll just end with a few minutes of drush, really, that the attention to the Netziv, okay, the Netziv, and again, it's also interesting, this idea of, what's the idea of seven Sifrei Torah? Right, the latest Svarim write that the Baal Shem Tov Sefer Torah had it, and then this Rebbe had it, and that Rebbe had it, and that's all kept upside down nuns, and that the backwards nuns, and that's what we have today also. Okay, but just to end with something on Drush, okay, the Netziv in his commentary on the Chumash called Hamek Dover, in his introduction to Parshas Bamidbar, so he talks, what's this business of seven Sifrei Torah? What's going on here? Since when do we have, seven Sifrei Torah, seven books in the Sefer Torah? Where does this come from? What's the idea that these psukim somehow are safer than of themselves? What does it mean? Okay. So he said, like we mentioned before, if Soloveitchik developed the same idea, but the Netziv says you can look it up in the Hamek Dover's introduction here in Parshas Bamidbar. He said that really the book of Bamidbar is a transitional Sefer. And we know, because next week's Sedra, the big disaster, Parsha Shlach, the Meraglim, so we know that this generation of Yotzei Mitzrayim are not going to end up being Zochet to go into Eretz Yisrael, except for Yoshua and Kalev, and so the whole generation is going to die out. Really, the book of Bamidbar is a tale of two generations, okay? It's the generation of Yotzei Mitzrayim and the generation of Boi Ha'aretz, those are going to come into Eretz Yisrael. And in a certain sense, these two psukim, as I say, are the marking point, the dividing point between these two events, because everything goes downhill. That's what Netziv says, okay? When the misononim happened, and then the kibbutz hatava, and after that, things just went downhill the whole rest of the way, the meraglim next week, until finally the decree that this generation is not going to enter into Eretz Yisrael. And the rest of the book of Bamidbar, there's another census later on in Parshas Pinchas, because it's a different generation. The numbers don't match. There's a census that we read in last week's Sedra Nusso in more detail in Bamidbar. Look at the total tally of the members of Bnei Yisrael, Shevet by Shevet. You see that in Parshas Pinchas, the numbers are not the same. They're close, but not exactly the same. Some Shvatim are not even close. But the total number is more, not that far off. But it's a different generation. A different generation. Okay, because this is a transitional Sefer. And these two psukim, so to speak, mark off. Okay, the Sefer begins. Sefer Bamidbar begins with it's the second year, as I said before, the second year. That's how Parshas Bamidbar begins, right? It's the second year. It's Nisan of the second year. That's what we read about in this week's Sedra, about the Korban Pesach, the year after Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Chumash Bamidbar ends with the 40th year. So this Sefer spans a long time, okay? And it spans the death of the generation of Yotzei Mitzrayim and the rise into prominence and the rise into mature adulthood of the next generation who are going to be the Boi Ha'aretz. Okay, it's a 40-year time span. And the end of the Sedra is in the 40th year, okay, when they're going to go in. Then after Sefer Bamidbar comes Devarim, which are Moshe Rabbeinu's final words to Klal Yisrael before his death. So that's what Netziv points out. That's the idea that these two psukim are a Sefer Bifnei Atzman. They're their own Sefer because it marks the point of transition, okay, where the Yotzei Mitzrayim, and they're going out the door, unfortunately, because right after these two psukim, things move downhill, and that's kind of like the transitional point. So these psukim, as I say, represent the transition, whether it's supposed to be nuns, it's supposed to be brackets, and all the things we mentioned. And again, maybe that's the reason why you kind of, have these psukim here, especially if you hold that it's a separate sefer. But even if these psukim are to divide between Puranas and Puranas, we can suggest that it's to divide also to sort of call our attention to the fact that all these Puranios, all these negative things are going to end up next week's Sedra with the ultimate disaster, okay, the Meraglim, and the decree that they're going to have to spend 40 years in the Midbar. So that's a little bit of insights into the upside down nuns. I wish everybody Hatzlacha on your final exams, and if I don't see you, I don't know if I'll see everybody before the summer. We'll see him, at least even on Zoom. But I don't know if I'll be giving another one next week or Shankar get back to me. But in any event, hope you enjoyed the shiur. Thank you for listening. Have Hatzlacha Rabbah on today's exam and all your finals. And have a good Shabbos as well.
Shkach.